much about puppets.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, let the guy in your ear talk to
you. Is no one talking in my ear?
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It says on your website that you were a spelling bee winner.
Yes, that is true.
And did that negatively or positively affect your childhood?
Are you kidding me? The girls wanted to have me, and the guys wanted to be me. I was the big man on campus, man. Once you're a spelling bee winner,
and the accordion player as well.
That's right.
So
that's an awesome
hand.
Double punch. 1, 2.
And now,
what type of car are you in?
I'm in a Fisker.
A what?
A Fisker. Fisker.
What kind of car is that?
It's a Fisker.
Obviously.
Our feature presentation.
I've been in that situation 1,000 times, too. As much as I hate Bieber, when somebody asks you something and there's only one word comes to your mind, there's nothing else you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Fisker.
That's
sure.
What it is.
Is his answer of what a Fisker is.
First of all, that wasn't Bieber. That was Justin Johnson, if you recall from the call.
Right, sorry.
Last name Johnson. Come on. Hey, party people. Welcome on in to yet another Kevin and Bean show. Miraculously, incredulously, back on the air again for another day. Today is Tuesday. Here's our man, Jonah Falcon, back in the news. You guys recognize the name?
Mm-mm. Jonah Falcon. No.
Jonah Falcon has the world's largest penis. He is 41 years old. And he's back in the news because he was stopped and frisked by the TSA at San Francisco International Airport this month because they were convinced he had something hiding in his pants.
Dude, what have you got in your pants? Tell us now. It'll be easier on you.
Yep. He was not packing a dirty bomb, but he was packing, you know, his penis. He said he had it strapped down. His penis, by the way, is 9 inches flaccid.
Is he a performer of some sort? Is that why I should know him?
No, he's just been in the news a lot over the last few years because he's had the Guinness Book of World Records World's Largest Penis for so long. He's been on all the HBO shows and Strange Sex and all of those shows.
So what's the total then? What's the ability?
13.5.
Missed it by a half inch.
One of the guards asked me if my pockets were empty, and I said yes. Falcon said he knew the interview was about to get a lot more personal when he was led through one of the X-ray body scanners and passed a metal detector and then had to be hand-searched. Another guard stopped me and asked if I had some sort of growth, to which I said yes.
If he was gay, he would be having a lot of growth.
Falcon has been contacted by every porn company and has never accepted their offer to do porn.
I did see this story yesterday. Did you see the picture of the dude?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not doing porn.
He looks like a regular dude.
Mm.
He looks like a regular dude. Mm. There's a lot of guys in porn who are way uglier than this
dude. Yeah, sadly, in porn, the guys are not that attractive.
Mm. Yeah.
He'd take it to another level, though.
No, I thought he looked. I think he looks pretty good for 41 years old, too, by the way. I was surprised to see he was that old. Anyway, so he says he said no to porn. As he passed through airport security, Falcon said a younger security guard felt threatened by his very noticeable package and interpreted it as a biological threat. I said, it's my penis. He gave me the pat down and made sure to go around the penis with his hands. They even put some powder on my pants, probably to test for explosives. I found it amusing.
I'm glad he finds it amusing.
Explosives.
Yeah,
who knows? I'm glad he didn't bust out all 13.5.
That would have been awesome. You want to see what I got? All right, everybody, gather around.
Stand back.
He joked, I'm just going to wear bike shorts from now on. That way they'll know. You'd think the San Francisco TSA would have experience with hung guys before, but I guess not.
He would
go
out the bottom of the bike shorts, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. He'd have to wear a second pair underneath those from his knees down.
He needs to bring an iPad and then just have an episode of whatever TV show he's been on so that he could show them.
And by the way, this goes hand in hand with the discussion we had yesterday about the woman with the 102 triple Zs. There is a point at which it's no longer good. Like, you're too big.
I can't imagine too many women are thrilled with that.
No. They go, oh, come
on. That's a weapon. Yeah. Get that away from me.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be normal.
Yeah, that is. I don't think that would be any fun coming toward you, Lisa. I really don't.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
That's Godzilla heading for Tokyo is what that is.
And you're Tokyo,
yes,
by the way,
I got
Lisa.
That.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure. Yeah, that's right. That's not good. Well,
fun for him flying.
Fun for him flying. And yeah. I imagine that happens every time he goes to the airport.
And by the way, for him in life, by the way. In life. His whole life he has to worry about how that plays.
Yeah, I would guess so if you're wearing a suit or anything else.
That's what he said. He said he strapped it down.
Yeah, you have to use duct tape. A lot of people don't know that.
That are Kevin very take the duct tape
very badly, but you get used to it after a while, like anything else. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hello, failure.
Aw, come on. We haven't even started.
We very may well fail. That's very possible. But we haven't yet is the thing. We have a brand new citizen of the day coming up. We have some UFC tickets to give away. We have Brad Williams coming in.
Yes.
He's going to be doing some showbiz for us.
God bless him.
Funniest little man alive. You have a lucky charm, something you take with you everywhere you go because you think somehow if you don't have it, things are going to go poorly for you. Or if you do have it, things are going to go well for you.
First thing comes to mind when you fly. I imagine a lot of people take something with them.
Something to make sure that the plane doesn't go down?
Yeah.
And then a little rabbit's foot is somehow going to keep a plane up?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't know.
And from the LA Galaxy, we have Landon Donovan on the program as well.
Awesome.
That's coming up today. So we will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat.
Yesterday, very exciting day musically here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We had brand new Green Day for you, brand new No Doubt. Have those songs already been retired, or do we have those again today? Beer Mug, take a look while we're doing the showbiz beat here. Let me know if we're going to be playing those songs later on today. Very exciting having all of those having those guys back on the radio, isn't it?
I agree.
Yeah.
Been a long time. Hey, welcome into the Showbiz Beat here for a Tuesday. Our friend Brad Williams is going to be joining us next hour. There's nothing but bad news today. Well, I can't say that's completely true, but the lead story today is very bad news. Right. Michael Lowen, you guys.
What about him? What happened now?
We've long established he's one of the worst fathers ever, right?
Yes.
Father/human beings, yes.
Yeah. He and Kate Major are having a baby.
All right.
No kidding.
Yes.
Oh, what an idiot.
He hasn't screwed up enough kids.
Yes.
All right.
Kate Major, you recall from Celebrity Rehab, is just as crazy as he is. Remember, these are the two that can't stand each other. They hate each other.
Oh,
they can't be in the same room together until they decide they have to be together, and there's nothing that anyone could do to stop them. I mean, this is a couple that has broken up and gotten back together a million times. There have been restraining orders taken out. They scream at each other. They fight constantly. Now she's pregnant and they're having a baby.
And she's
what the hell?
She's had drug issues that I don't think she's really dealt with.
As has he, by the way. He's had nothing but trouble. He's been in and out of prison for all sorts of things.
Giant disaster.
This is a giant disaster.
There apparently was a restraining order in place that made it possible for Michael Lowen to see Kate Major until as recently as a few weeks ago. Yet now they're back together and now they're having a baby.
Wow.
He needs to be fixed.
He does.
I agree. Seal
you
Team
also
6.
have to wonder if, you know, God forbid, but Michael Lowen, his whole career seems to be how can I make money off of Lindsay?
Yes.
You got to wonder if he goes, maybe there's more cash in having another kid. Maybe there's some way I can turn this into making money, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a celebrity. Maybe I can sell photos. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. I can't imagine that this is good news. And part two of this bad news baby story is now everyone's talking about how Miley Cyrus wants to get pregnant as quickly as possible.
Yep. That's her dream.
Oh, no.
How old is
really?
She now? She's 19?
She's 19. Her boyfriend, Liam Hemsworth, is 22. And she tells a family friend, if that's to be believed or not, tells Us Weekly that they are thinking about the wedding, but they're really thinking about how to get pregnant. And they're trying to make that happen as quickly as possible.
Oh, I can help with that. You take off your clothes. And then, wow, that's all bad right there.
Yeah.
Here's good. I got something good for you. By the way, we're playing the new No Doubt is coming up this morning.
Oh, good.
Just so you know, Muggs did the research. Snooki, according to Star Magazine, is getting ready to have her kid because she's pushing a stroller around, I guess, to kind of get in the mode.
To practice?
I don't know, to practice. I mean, the stroller does have a case of Coors Light in it, but, you know.
Are you kidding?
Maybe to add a little weight to make it realistic.
That could be.
Plus, she gets thirsty when she pushes something like that around. So.
Oh, my.
Got a lot of people getting babies.
I think China has it right with the forced sterilization.
A license, at least.
You
have to pass some sort of basic I'm not crazy test.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen back in the news. This time, not for his anger management show. Not for any kind of a crazy outburst. Not for anything to do with porn stars.
Well, what do we want
not for anything
him,
to
then?
Do with drugs. Because he is donating at least $1 million to the USO. He is giving 1% of the money that he earns on anger management with a minimum of $1 million and no cap to the USO. It's the largest single donation that the USO has ever received. Charlie Sheen says it's just an honor to give back to the men and women who have done so much for all of us. USO, for folks who don't recognize the name, this is the organization that basically assists service people around the world, helps them with, you know, with things that they need.
Yep.
You know, whether you're in war zones or, you know, just at the airport, there'll be a USO lounge so that the service personnel have some place to go, you know, if they need it in the airport. I mean, they do a lot of great work. But $1 million minimum from Charlie Sheen.
This is what his PR person told him he needed to do, I'm guessing.
That's not me.
Kate Upton is back in the news. Bells, please. This pro-anorexia website that called her lardy and lazy and fat last week.
Yes.
She told London's tabloid The Sun that she's, quote, not going to starve just to be thin. I want to enjoy life, and I can't if I'm not eating and miserable. For the record, her measurements for a dress are between 2 and 4.
Oh, yeah, she's a lard ass.
This is fat lard, and her exact measurements are 33, 25, 36.
Wow, I'm really surprised that she's only a 33, aren't you?
Yes.
So, F you website.
She's like a 33F.
Yeah.
That's what she is.
That's pretty. But anyway, that was the most ridiculous story of the week last week, so she's finally hitting back at that.
All right.
She is the best.
She's the best.
Michael Clark Duncan back in the news. We haven't talked about this much. TMZ is reporting that he is fighting like a mother, is the quote, and his heart is as strong as an ox. You know, he went into full cardiac arrest early on Friday morning. I don't know if we talked about it much, but, Kevin's been trying to get him in the ring. Kevin's been trying to fight him, and apparently he's scared.
Not really trying to fight him. I just said he was a pussy.
Apparently he thought about having to get in the ring with Kevin, and it scared him so much that he had a heart attack. Omarosa, who inexplicably he is dating, apparently saved his life, literally saved his life, gave him CPR, restarted his heart, which is, you know, again, you don't ever want to believe anything good about Omarosa.
Right.
You got to give him credit for that.
How's that possible?
Michael Clark Duncan has been on a respirator at the hospital since his admission. He is doing well, apparently. They are performing tests. His heartbeat is strong. He's going to be in the hospital for a while. There's no plans that even at this point to take him off the respirator, so he's not out of the woods yet. But they, they are optimistic anyway. That's scary. I mean, he's a big dude also, by the way. I think he weighs well over 300 pounds, which may have contributed to his heart attack.
So how does little Omarosa get things going with a CPR?
I don't know. She had to jump on him.
Jump up and down both feet on his chest. This story is just for Dave, the King of Mexico. Because he said this, and I was mocking him endlessly at Comic-Con. Jessica Biel might want to stop working out so much, according to Star Magazine.
Because she has Dwight Howard shoulders?
The muscular actress has been called, quote, manly by some designers.
It's not my fault.
And he was saying that, and I was berating him as much as humanly possible.
How about that?
So that story actually backs him up, which I hate, but I'll give it to him.
Because he's almost always wrong about women.
He is always wrong. I mean, this is a lucky guess.
Yeah.
I thought she looked good, by the way.
She always looks good.
That's what I thought. We were talking the other day about how Kevin believes that Battleship got a raw deal based on the fact that it was Battleship. Just because it was based on a board game, you think people didn't give that movie enough credit for being as good as it was,
well,
right?
We all thought. I thought. We all thought. How stupid is that? That's going to be terrible. That's going to be horrible.
The truth is,
it was pretty good.
Based on a board game at all, was it?
It was pretty good.
Mahalo, motherfucker.
Huh? Yeah, exactly, Rihanna. I didn't see Battleship, so I can't comment on that. But how are we going to deal with the Ouija board movie?
Oh, really?
Michael Bay, according to Daily Variety, is working on a Ouija board movie. Universal Pictures has a couple of writers working on the script right now. It'll be out sometime in 2013. Originally, it had been planned as a big-budget film with McGee directing, and then Paramount pulled the plug on it. McGee left, Universal picked it up, and now Michael Bay is going to make a Ouija board movie. Does it seem like they should learn from the Battleship experience and just make it some sort of a movie about contacting people from the other side and maybe just leave the Ouija board out of it?
Does it say they're going to call it Ouija board?
Right now, it's called Ouija.
There's a Legos movie, and we've talked about that, right? Channing Tatum's going to be in it.
the Lego movie.
Yeah, I happened to look up to see what I could look forward to in the future, and I was like, Lego? A Legos movie?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope they at least spend some of that writing time on a title.
That would be nice.
Okay.
Because that makes sense. The hottest place to spend the summer in 2012 is Lake Como in Italy. Apparently, this is the place where all the celebrities are going. So.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail spotted, of course, George Clooney, who lives there, and his girlfriend, Stacey Keibler. Entertaining Channing Tatum and his wife, Jenna Dewan.
Oh, man.
They went for a boat ride and cruised over to a restaurant. Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux were there. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, and the Beckham family all summering at Lake Como in Italy. So go ahead and take your vacation and head on over.
So,
guaranteed to see all those people.
Channing Tatum really is A-list now. He's hanging out Lake Como. On DVD today, by the way, the Three Stooges movie that all of us missed in theaters is going to be out. Also, Lockout, which was that Guy Pearce film, available on DVD today. Salmon Fishing in the Yemen is finally out, Lisa.
Woo! I saw it on the plane.
Oh, you're sad. Okay. and Casa de mi Padre, the Will Ferrell movie in Espanol,
si, is señor.
Also out on DVD today. TV releases Sanctuary, the complete fourth season, and Leverage season four is out. And it's so funny. We're talking about how Green Day and No Doubt have brand new music out. It's like a return to 1995. Also coming out this week, Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles has a new album. Soul Asylum has a new album, again, as the 90s
Soul Asylum.
The deluxe remaster of Pisces Iscariot, the Smashing Pumpkins album, because, you know, that old crappy one from 4 weeks ago, you got to be over that already.
Sure.
Got to remaster that and put that back out. That's out today. Crosby, Stills, and Nash have a new album out today. And Elton John and Pinal put out a record. This is interesting, by the way. Elton John is a huge fan of this electronic dance music group called Pinal. They're Australian. He went to them and said, I'm going to give you the master tapes from all of my albums from the 70s. Do whatever you want with them.
That's
and apparently
weird.
They took pieces of Elton John songs and worked them into dance music. I haven't heard any of this yet, but it sounds like a fascinating project.
And who is that?
This is they're called Pinal, P-N-A-U. It's an Australian dance duo who are apparently very popular.
Huh.
But apparently he's a big fan of the dance music, too. But that's an interesting idea, kind of to reimagine those songs for, you know, for a new generation. I'd be curious to see what they come up with.
Birthdays today. TV producer Mark Burnett is 52 years old. He's had a little success. Bassist Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath is 63. Donald Sutherland is 77. And The Hoff. David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Is 60 years old today.
This is a mess.
And that is the show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
TMZ had a story about back in 2005 that Katie Holmes was watching this happen. Like, some of the other kids were going through what they call SEC testing. SET testing, and they would ask him questions. And the first question they asked him, what has somebody told you not to tell?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Why are you doing the news somewhere? That's what I want to know. I want to get all my information through the Kevin filter. And Lisa, what's wrong with us that now we don't even hear those anymore? Listeners have to write to us and say, hey, you guys missed a moment with.
We don't need...
we talk Kevin.
Look, I have 5 million moments with. Lisa has 2. Bean has 5. All right? We have enough. We don't need listeners tipping us off to more, for God's sakes.
Well, I think we enjoy the new ones. But I think the problem, it's like you learn to speak Spanish, and pretty soon people speak to you in English and Spanish, and you don't really, like, you don't even know which is which, because you do both so fluently.
So you speak me now?
We're fluent in Kevin. That's the problem.
It's just, it's frightening to me that something as bad as that could have gotten on the air and it wouldn't have even, none of us would have even noticed it. It wouldn't have raised any kind of a red flag at all that, wait a minute, there's no information being transmitted in a way that can be understood right now.
Hey, F you. It's time for...
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Man, I have 3 choices for you. You can choose which one is our Citizen of the Day. All include hurting their genitals.
Oh, okay.
A theme today. I love it.
Man accidentally shoots himself in the genitals and is arrested in Oklahoma City. Police were called at 9 a.m. Saturday to the emergency room at Southwest Medical Center. Apparently this dude, it's illegal in Oklahoma to carry a concealed weapon. Well, he had bought a gun on the street, and he was going to go sell it in a parking lot, right? But he wasn't sure if it worked, so he pulled over to the side of the road and tried to check it out.
Like, don't you check that out before you buy it, by the way?
Well, I mean, I don't know what he got it for. It must have been nothing, but you would think so. But he pulled over to make sure it worked.
Yeah.
And he cleaned it, and he put a bullet in it, and then he shot himself in the wiener.
Oh, dude. Okay. Guess what? It works.
That's bad, right? So they take him to the hospital, and they try to fix what's going on there.
Yeah.
And then the police show up, and A, it's illegal to have the gun, and he says, oh, yeah, I was planning on going over and selling it. Second count.
Wow, he is too stupid to have a gun ever.
I shot myself in the penis, and I was going to go sell it.
So then he got arrested, and he has arrested, no penis?
And he has no penis and two charges instead of one.
That is a bad
day. Why did he add, and then with the money I got from selling the gun, I was going to go buy drugs? Why didn't he just add that and just pile on?
He probably would have had he thought that far ahead. All right, that's story one. Story two, God hates you. God is telling you that I am going to destroy you. A lightning struck a 53-year-old man's scrotum.
Oh.
That's where the lightning made contact.
Oh, dude. Wow. Was there metal in there or something?
I don't know.
Do you have nudicles?
I really, I can't answer that, but you would think it would hit him in the head or the shoulder or the arm or anything that's higher than that area.
Maybe he had a giant zipper on his pants.
He got hit in the scrotum with lightning. It exited his body through one of his feet. This is in Madrid, Spain. Mm-hmm. The good news is he survived. The bad news is charred testicles.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
The son called the emergency. They treated the burns on his scrotum and his feet. Apparently, there's a burn where the lightning goes in, and there's a burn where the lightning comes out.
But
the lightning goes in, I'm guessing, lightning hits your scrotum. Don't you take your life at that point? I mean,
I don't think you come back from that.
Yeah,
I don't,
what are the chances, first of all, that that would happen? And second of all, that something bigger is not going on and you're going to die anyway.
Yeah. But it's great news for the band Charred Testicles because they're on the Warped Tour this year. And they're getting a lot of free publicity out of it.
They are. That's true. And the final Kevin Bean citizen of the day is a news report.
A run-in with a fence sends a man to the hospital with an 18-inch spike stuck in his leg. Police say he was fleeing from a bar after a fight over the bill, but he didn't make it far when he tried to skip the fence outside Saturday night.
All right, so the dude is inside a bar, and he's arguing over the bill, and he's saying it shouldn't be that much, shouldn't be that much. So they say, yes, it is, and so he turns and runs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fence that's about waist high to me. I'm 6'2". It's about waist high, which is that, like 3 feet?
Yeah.
And it's got the spikes on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was running out, he jumped that fence. Well, he halfway jumped that fence, and it landed so that it went right in near penis. Got a little, and then went out the backside of his leg. And he laid there for a long time waiting for authorities to come help him get off of the fence.
Oh, my God.
The man was stuck in an awkward position, balancing on one leg with a spike sticking out near his other knee.
He was in actually pretty good shape. He was texting and making phone calls.
Emergency responders say a group of people watched while the man stood there, stuck and waiting for help.
That's very nice.
They're all just standing around
waiting,
watching.
What can you do, though? You need a professional to be able to remove that part of the fence to get him in the emergency room.
I don't know. Go over there and talk to him. And
maybe they were. They knew he was texting. I mean, can you imagine getting a text from that guy? Hey, having a bad night. Check out this photo.
Yeah, really.
Remember when we did the call-in topic and we found out that about 50% of our listeners have been impaled on something?
Yes.
Remember that? It was just insane how many calls we got like that.
Well, this guy was trying to skip out on a bill and got about 15 feet.
Yeah.
He was running away from the bar and got impaled on the fence just outside the bar.
That's brilliant.
So those are your three. Who do you pick?
I gotta go with the guy. I gotta go with guy number one.
First
gotta
one,
go
right?
with guy who buys guns, shoots himself in the testicles. I gotta go with him.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, citizen of the day.
We got Landon Donovan from the Los Angeles Galaxy on the show later on today, and we'll give you tickets to see the team play Chivas USA this weekend. That's coming up, plus a pair of tickets for you to be at UFC on Fox 4 at Staples Center in August. All that in the next hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Brad Williams. How are you, man?
What's going on, everybody?
Woo! On Twitter, at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com, one of our very favorite funny people.
Yeah.
Brad, how was your weekend? You had some local dates, right?
Yeah, I did some shows at the Lovitz Club and also the Bray Improv, and I just want to thank all the Kevin Bean listeners who came out. There was a lot of support. And also want to thank Michael Bay for being in the audience.
Yeah.
The real Michael Bay?
That Michael Bay.
Unbelievable.
Michael Bay came to my show at the Lovitz Club. I guess he was there to check out the Transformers ride that, you know, he directed Transformers, so he's there to see the ride. And then he decided to come to the show because he thought, well, what's more awesome than explosions? Midgets telling jokes.
That's true.
Woo-hoo!
It could be.
Watch, Brad's going to be our next action star.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Did he pay or did he ask for free tickets?
I believe he actually paid for himself, but then his bevy of Playmate-style women all got in free.
Yeah.
He had at least five, like, dime pieces with him. It was unbelievable.
Is that how it works when hot chicks show up? They just get him for free to your show?
They don't know what money is.
Hot chicks. By the way, let me just butt in and say that's how it works everywhere for everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Just asking.
This is Los Angeles.
If you're a dime piece,
you're in.
You're in.
That's it.
Life is so much fun. But yeah, thank you again for coming out. But let's get to showbiz news. That's why I'm here. Katie Holmes, greatest parent in the world. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Greatest parent in the world.
Greatest parent in the world. Okay. She apparently took Suri, her daughter, to a pet store the other day. And they were looking at puppies. And they were bringing out puppies. And they were holding the puppies in front of Suri. Mm-hmm. And they're the cutest puppies in the world. And Katie decided not to get a puppy. We're just not going to get one. And Suri starts crying. And there's pictures of this.
Oh,
and
no.
It's the set. Like, it's literally the perfect photo. It's the saddest face in the world of Suri with the cutest puppy ever being held right in front of her.
Yeah.
And then Katie just goes, nah, no puppy for you. And they walk out. And they
no
don't get
kidding.
A puppy. Which is actually something like that's mean. No, I think that's kind of refreshing.
Because
too often you hear about children of celebrities just getting whatever they want, getting spoiled. But then this is. But I just love the fact that she brought her to the pet store. We went to the pet store.
Yeah.
No puppy. I love that.
I'm going to take you where you're going to fall in love with them and then
right.
say no.
Not, no, we're just not getting a puppy. This disgusting didn't have it at home. And then a report said that immediately upon returning home, a Scientology-sponsored helicopter dropped 1,300 pounds of puppies.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get to that part of the story.
1,300 pounds of puppies were dropped.
Rained puppies.
It rained puppies. It was like it was like the frog plague from the Bible, only puppies. By the way, Raining Puppies, great band.
That is a great band.
Great band. This story was really funny. Louis C.K. Recently tweeted about Daniel Tosh, "Your show makes me laugh every time I watch it, and you have pretty eyes." This prompted everyone to write stories about how Louis C.K. is supporting Daniel Tosh amid this whole controversy of his jokes. Louis C.K. was on The Daily Show last night. And said flat out, no, I just was saying hi to the guy. He had no idea. Louis C.K. tweeted.
He didn't know that was all going on?
No, yeah. he was just watching Tosh.0, said, hey, that's a great show. Yeah. I should tweet Daniel Tosh. And he did. Like, hey, you're funny and all that. And then turns out all this stuff's going on. And then he goes online and it literally there's headlines that say Louis C.K. supports rape. And he's like, what did I do? I said hi to a friend.
He was apparently on vacation in Maine, wasn't following the news at all, had no idea that this rape controversy was going on. It was just bad timing to say hi, reach out to the dude, I guess.
This is going to be a future episode, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just absolutely nuts. It's like, you know, if you're running a restaurant and some terrorist or something walks in and leaves you a big tip, you go, hey, not such a bad guy.
Yeah, right.
You know? and you have no idea that that's all that he does in his personal life. I thought that was an absolutely great story. That's what happened there. And in the spirit of comedians going crazy, this story happened over the weekend. It wasn't reported really in Maine yet, but I want to report it. All these stories about comedians having controversies. You had the Daniel Tosh story.
Yes.
Some people may know the Tammy Pescatelli story, where someone threw a glass of wine at her during a show. Tammy Pescatelli, great comedian, by the way, gets hit with a glass of wine, wants to charge the woman with assault, asks the entire audience to stay and be witnesses. They all agree because she was killing that night, and they all want to support her. The cop shows up, takes all the statements, and then goes, yeah, you're a comedian. We can't charge her with anything.
What?
Yeah. Because apparently that's just a hazard of the job, dealing with drunk whores.
Not throwing things.
Yeah. And that's, like, if you did this in any other form of entertainment, You would think.
Come on, that's insane.
Yeah, it would be assault. I mean, but
it's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
I tell you what, that is absolutely right.
That's crazy.
But
now,
was that,
this was at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville, Florida. Florida.
Oh, well, freaking Florida.
Florida. Florida.
But here
she
comes.
She could kill her, though, because it'd be self-defense, and that'd be okay.
Absolutely.
Florida.
But here comes my favorite story.
All right.
This is the next comedian story. Eddie Griffin was at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, California, up in Northern California. And during his set, a woman threw a drink at him. And you don't mess with undercover brother, because he reached down, grabbed someone else's drink, and chucked it back at the woman.
All right.
Yeah! You go, Eddie! That's what we gotta do. Start fighting back, comics.
From stage.
From stage! There's video of it on TMZ.com. He first pours the drink on the woman's head and then chucks the glass at her.
Nice.
That's what you do.
Yep.
There are consequences for actions. Now, I don't know, if you heckle me during my shows, I'm a midget, so the worst I could do is like throw Skittles at you. Like, I don't know, like, cupcakes for everybody! Ha!
And you may not be able to reach him with a Skittle either.
I have no arm, but mad props to you, Eddie Griffin. Let's get to the celebrity birthdays. Actor Donald Sutherland, who has been working forever. He is 77 years old. Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath is 63. Producer Mark Burnett, you know him from Survivor, 52 years old today. And my favorite birthday, David Hasselhoff, is 60 years old, everybody. Oh, he is going to party tonight. How do you think it's going to sound at that party?
This is a mess.
Sorry, remix.
Remix. So party it up, Hoff. We all know you love to rock.
Yeah.
I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And I pitter-patter on the showbiz.
All this week here on K-Rock, we are hooking you up with Black Keys tickets. They are one of the great live bands working America today. You can see them October 6th at Staples Center. And when you win, well, you're qualified to go in the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send you to see them one more time, this time at Lollapalooza in Chicago. It's destination number 3 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. Your chance to win coming up. Details at krock.com.
Time for the Afro Line. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number. 24 hours a day, you can leave us a message. It's getting to be all pretty negative. Got to be honest.
The Afro Line? It's not a lot of love?
Not a lot of love, no. Almost universal hate. But I will tell you this. The podcast listeners, thank you. That's an extra step of downloading the podcast and listening to it later in the day that we really do appreciate. Although this guy seems to have a couple of questions.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, a long-time podcast listener. I was listening to the show the last couple of days, and I just have questions because some issues have come up on the podcast. I'm not 100% clear, so I just wanted to check. Is Brad Williams a midget? I can't tell if he's... Is he really short? Also, is Felipe Esparza Mexican? He seems like he has a little bit of an accent, but I just can't tell. He's clearly not white. Also, Anel Rivers, is he black? Is he black?
We are being mocked. I forget where this started, but it has become science, and that is that if a woman wears white pants, she's willing. She's saying, "Hey, come over to my house, but come through the back door."
Exactly.
It's advertising, really.
It's advertising, right? That the back door is open.
Dude, seriously, I just seen the first lady in white pants. Oh my God! Nice.
White pants! Woo! Yeah!
Nothing we can do about it, man. It's science, as Kevin said.
Just so you know, if you're advertising it, that's on you.
Yet another 7-Eleven comes by, and once again, I don't get my freaking Slurpee because I did not plan ahead. God damn it!
Very upset 7-Eleven came by and he didn't get his free Slurpee. Very upset.
We told him.
This is... You gotta be more specific than this, because we don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Gwen Stefani, please go back to not sucking. Thank you.
Oh,
wow.
Sorry, that was not the one I was thinking it was. This is Bean.
Bean, just wanted to let you know, whenever I excuse myself from a room to go take a I always tell people that I'm going to go take a Kevin and Bean and wipe my beer mug.
Oh. Wow.
Wow. But wipe his beer mug made it worth it. No?
Yeah.
Yes,
I
no?
I don't want to be any part of that guy's bathroom habits. I really don't.
Now, I know you guys are familiar with Two Girls in One Cup. Your show's a lot like listening to Two Girls in One Cup. Something to think about.
Super entertaining?
The Afro line is turning into an abusive parent or something. It's getting harder and harder to go back and listen to these messages now.
Here's Bean.
What's up? What's up?
He did it not once, but twice, which I admire.
Shout out to Bean. What's up?
How do you feel the King of Mexico is doing it, trying to bring that back?
I think failure.
It's not catching fire? Right. You don't see it coming back? Okay.
So it's just all hate for you, B. None for me.
Shout out to Kevin. You're done.
How dare you?
Oh. Lisa's the only one who walks away unscathed, by the way.
Every single time. Somebody call with something negative about Lisa.
I get the tweets. I get a few tweets.
Yeah, but it's not fair. We sit here and take a beating with the Afro line, and you get nothing. Somebody who missed the Kardashians.
I was just calling because I missed the update on the Kardashian show. So did Kim get redick or not? Did she get redick?
She did get redick, yes. Yeah. That did happen, yes.
Breakdancing, breakdancing, breakdancing. Started in New York City with a little kid. Got his jacket caught up on a hubcap of a Cadillac. Breakdancing, breakdancing, breakdancing. I'm the best.
Wow, nice. Wow, that's a tribute to the Armenian Comedian's new song, which, by the way, I don't believe we've had Sam and the band in to perform live yet. I think that may need to happen soon.
Well, remember last Monday when we told him to come in this past Friday because we knew mm-hmm. we were going to be out of town in San Diego?
Yes.
Right.
He found out about that Thursday and was very, very, very upset.
Because I mean, you invited him to come down.
Well, I know, but I just...
So all week long he was looking forward to it, and then he realized we weren't going to be here.
I know, but I just, like, it was a throwaway, and I just completely forgot about it, thinking that he would figure it out at some point. And he did, but it was only the day before.
I'm surprised he figured it out. Yeah. I really thought he'd show up.
I'm sorry, what?
You guys are
Okay, take it easy. And finally, Dewan is very upset about this DirecTV thing.
What's up, Kevin and Bane? This is Dewan calling, and I'll let you know that some of the channels on DirecTV went off the air for right now. I'm really upset. I'm really confused, and I'm really mad.
Okay.
Very, very mad.
All right.
I lost my MTV. I lost my Spike TV. I lost my Comedy Central. I lost Nickelodeon, TNIC, Nicktoons, and other channels I lost from Viacom. I am really upset. I am really mad. I'm really angry.
All right, I'm 100% with Dewan. I am equally angry for all the same reasons he mentioned. But I feel like as a consumer, there should be something I can do to try to get these kids back together, Viacom versus DirecTV, but I don't know what to do.
Cancel?
Like, what am I supposed to call and say to DirecTV, I'm going to cancel my service unless you work out this Viacom thing? Is that the answer?
It might be, or cancel.
Just do it.
But then I have no channels. Yeah, but now I'm down 10 channels, then I'll be down 200 channels.
But you'll go back. So tell them that.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm telling you, they got to work this out.
Right.
I know the contract ran out after 7 years, and they're fighting over, you know, who pays who to carry those channels on DirecTV. But it sucks. I mean, these are good channels that are missing, right?
Here's what we should do, and I've never understood this. Take what one of them wants and what the other one wants, go halfway in the middle, and mm-hmm. then settle it and move on.
Yeah.
No
give
one's
me my
happy,
MTV back.
But oh well.
Too reasonable, Kevin.
That's the way it goes. Thank you. I've always been too reasonable.
That's Kevin's problem. Too reasonable. Two phone numbers for you to keep in mind here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That one is the Kevin and Bean Afro line. You can call that 24/7, 323-520-AFRO. Right now, though, we're going to use the regular phone lines here at KROQ. We need your help for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey. As you know, there's no question that can't be settled without five random people on the phone. If you put five random people on the phone, you get a consensus. That's scientifically accurate. Don't ask me how we figured that out. Just trust me on it. So 1-800-520-1067. We can't tell you the topic yet because we don't want you to be biased in either direction when you call. You find out after we get you on the air. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey is next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Foster the People coming up. Also, Audio Slave and the new one from No Doubt we just premiered for you yesterday called Settle Down. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Hey, it's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
All right.
That was worth waiting for.
Quite a piece of production we had there that said just exactly what you said.
Put a lot of work into that. We need a ruling from the people, Kevin. I'm glad we're doing this scientific survey because we have discussed often on this program these public marriage proposals That seemed to be the only way anybody ever gets engaged anymore, is it doesn't count to getting, it's not enough to ask a woman to marry you and be your wife and to spend the rest of your life together anymore. Now it has to somehow be a show for everybody else. You know what I'm talking about?
For the world. A show for the world.
It has to be the Jumbotron at Staples Center. It has to be you're on stage at Lollapalooza. It has to be something crazier. It doesn't count as a proposal. And I want to know what the people think about this new trend. Here's a story from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. There's a woman named Jennifer Hudspeth. She is one of the anchors on a channel KDLT there. She starts the story not realizing that it's going to be about her and her boyfriend as he comes on the television set to propose to her.
We also have a good old-fashioned love story.
We sure do. It's the classic high school cheerleader meets local football star, and they live happily ever after, only with one twist. Our featured couple did meet in high school, but it took 7 years after graduation before they would meet again, and it was clear they were meant to be together. A Minnesota man, Nate Johnson, joins us to continue his story of love.
All right, so she's listening to the description of the couple that they're featuring on the news, and she's got that look on her face as she starts to realize, this sounds like my relationship, and then the other anchor mentions her boyfriend is there to continue the story. This is the first she realizes she's about to be proposed to on live TV.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having me here tonight. Jennifer, the last 3 years have been amazing. I have no doubt that I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I guess I just have one last question to ask you.
Oh, my gosh.
Jennifer? Will you marry me?
Oh, my gosh, yes!
When you learn to talk without sounding like you're reading.
So they live happily ever after or whatever. What's your thought on this, you guys? Is it, hey, it makes it even more special and we're always going to have a great story to tell? Or is it no longer about the commitment of, hey, I want you to be my wife. Now let's turn it into a spectacle for the world.
I think
are you in or are you out?
There's some of both. I think there's the douchebag factor, which is I need to make sure everybody sees me and my girl get engaged. That's the guy on the Jumbotron.
Okay.
I'm out. Like, do it. I don't know. It just seems like it's just, hey, look at us.
And it's very I mean, for the girl, if there's any chance, and guys seem to be surprised all the time that she's going to say no, it's a terrible pressure to put her on under where she's in front of everybody and has to make that decision.
But I've been in the audience, you know, for sporting events and whatnot. Of course, it's a sporting event crowd, but it seems like every woman in the place goes, oh.
Yes.
I would have done the same.
And then every guy goes,
oh,
come on.
Look, every woman who comes back to her office on Monday and tells people she got engaged, the first question is, can I see the ring? The second question is, how did he do it? There is a certain amount of peer pressure in having a great story in the proposal.
You missed a question. There's let me see the ring. There's why is it so small? And then there's how did he do it?
By the way, Jennifer, this chick on TV in South Dakota, hadn't even seen the ring when she said yes. So I was actually kind of impressed by that. She almost forgot that there was a ring. She was so caught up.
I don't know. Right. I hate to be... This is going to strike you as cynical, as ridiculous, but I'm sort of romantic, and I hate that crap.
Really?
Because it just seems like it's too much look at me. Look at us.
Let's see what the scientific survey says at 1-800-520-1067. We can only take 5 calls. We may not even need that many. We'll take them in order, starting with the order they came in. That means Shane is up first on line one. Shane, you have heard the evidence. Are we for or against public marriage proposals? Should it be a spectacle for the world to see, or should it just be something between two people and have it be private?
Well, I think it needs to be between two people and needs to be private. The rest of us don't need to see all that crap. But it is funny when she says no.
That is funny. as long as there's that risk of her saying no, there is that entertainment factor. But then you get to like 4 or 5 in a row that say yes, and you're bored.
It's got a board.
So I'm putting you down as a no.
He's a no. Shane is a no on the public proposals. All right. Because I think what's great about doing this, and we'll go to Michelle next online too, is that this is going to settle it. This will be a ruling that stands, and then people will have to adhere to this, right?
Sure.
Correct.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's it.
What's that? Hello?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely think it's overrated. It should be a moment between two people.
You're against the public part of it.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Okay,
so if you were this woman, this TV anchor who got proposed to on television with everybody watching, you would not think that was cool and a good story to tell people?
I don't think it would be very cool at all. No, I'd probably be very embarrassed, yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey,
all right.
Get off the set. We're doing news right now. What are you doing here? This is my work.
All right. This could settle it. Right now, we're 0-2 for the public proposals. David, you might have the final vote, depending on what you say. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Absolutely, these guys are douches. More women need to stand up and say no to them.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. You got three douches
That's
in a row.
It. Yep.
It's done. No more public proposals. It'll never happen again.
It's science.
Thanks for participating.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
All right. Your call is now 1-800-520-1067 if you want to go to the UFC when it's at Staples Center.
Ooh, sounds good.
So we're going to have to clear the line from those of you that were doing the scientific survey, and then we're going to have to load it up again with people who want to go to UFC. 1-800-520-1067.
Lisa, May, I think you're right. I think we are going to have to do a drawing because we only have two pairs of winners here, it turns out. Talking about a great event coming to Staples Center on August the 4th, UFC on Fox 4. It's your chance to see UFC professional fighting in person. Rua versus Vera, also Ryan Bader, who is, of course, a season 8 winner of The Ultimate Fighter versus Machida. So that is a great, great lineup. 1-800-520-106. And we got a brand new game we're going to debut. What's this one called?
Name that UFC fighter. This game's so fire, just like your lighter. Name that UFC fighter. You'll be peeping out the fights live bar. Name that UFC fighter. Get the answer right and you'll be gangsta. Name that UFC fighter. Yeah, boy!
Flava Flav and Omar today. Nice job. All right. UFC on Fox 4. This is a pretty easy game if you follow UFC at all. We're going to give you the nicknames of some very famous UFC fighters. All you have to do is tell us the real name of the fighter. You know them by the nickname. What's their real name? It's as simple as that. 1-800-520-1067. If you're right, you go in the drawing. We'll have two sets of winners.
That's the second what you're saying about it being easy. These are the biggest and easiest fighters possible.
Okay.
So. If you miss, you should fall on your own sword. Or
well, you don't deserve to go to UFC if you miss.
Whatever you do these days. All right, let's start with Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing?
All right, it couldn't be any easier than this one. All I'm going to do is give you the nickname. You tell me the fighter's name. It is the Iceman. The Iceman.
The Iceman, Chuck Liddell.
That's correct. Nice
That's as
done.
Easy as it gets right there. Well done, sir.
You go into the drawing. Let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa. Looking for Bones. Bones.
John Jones.
John Jones is right.
Boy, was he a great guest. He was just on the Kevin and Bean Show, last week? So much fun to hang out with that guy.
All right, let's go to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
No pressure, but everybody's gotten him so far.
All right, cool.
Don't be bad. UFC fighter is The Spider. His nickname is The Spider.
The Spider.
I thought that was one of the easiest ones ever.
Oh, man.
He just fought. Google.
The spider.
Hit the buzz. Hit the buzz.
Oh,
sorry, we're out of time. We were looking for Anderson
Silva. Anderson Silva.
Nice try with the Googling.
You don't know Anderson Silva quicker than that? You out. Let's go to Eric. Hi, Eric.
How's it going?
Yeah, Eric.
All right, Eric. This one's a tiny bit tougher, but I think you'll get it. The nickname is Rush. Rush.
Rush.
Rush.
I have no clue. I knew the last one was Anderson Silva.
Yeah, that doesn't help you with George St. Pierre.
That's what we're looking for, George St. Pierre. But thank you anyway for playing. All right, so far we got two in the drawing. Two have missed.
All right, let's go to Noel. Hi.
Hi.
Or Noel, sorry, you're a guy. Noel.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Noel. One of the best nicknames in all of sports, the Axe Murderer. The Axe Murderer, which was also my porn name, by the way.
Please.
Vandelei Silva.
That's right.
Yes! Nicely well done, sir. Well done.
You hold on. Let's go to Joey. Hi, Joey.
Hello.
All right, Joey, playing for UFC on Fox 4.
Just going to guess. I'm just going right out in front and saying not going to get it.
I'm feeling good about it, Joey. Are you kidding me? I'm feeling good about it.
All right.
Shogun. Shogun.
Mauricio. Shogun Rua.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, that's who you're going to be seeing on if you win the game in August. Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Welcome to one of the easiest games in the world.
Yep. All right. California Kid. The California Kid is your nickname.
You're right on paper.
Sure.
Correct.
Of course.
Well done. All right. You hold on.
Got time for two more.
All right. Don, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, Don. You ready?
It's our last contestant, Bean. This is it.
Oh, one more. Okay. Yeah. The Dragon. The Dragon.
He's typing. He's Googling.
You were gonna see the dragon because that's Lyoto Machida. Come He's on. Actually on the bill at Staples Center August 4th.
How do you
but
not
no
know
tickets
the dragon
for you.
Is Lyoto Machida. Wow. Boo!
All right, Lisa. Adam, Lisa, Noel, and Joey, I think, are all in the drawing, but only two can win tickets for the event. Who are they going to be?
It is Joey and Noel.
Yeah! Yeah!
Joey, congratulations.
No way.
Way! Wait, Joey and who?
Noel.
Noel also gets to go. This is taking too long. My music just ran out. Hit it again. There we go. Noel, congratulations. You're going to the fight.
You there? Okay.
That
was a good ending.
Yeah, you.
I think it was good.
Oh.
I think this went well. Name that UFC fighter. Kevin, you're going to make us clear the room so you can talk to your boyfriend privately coming up after the top of the hour?
Not my boyfriend. I just love the galaxy, and Landon Donovan's going to be on the phone. He's not my boyfriend. Why do you have to sully everything, Bean? Every time you say it, it gets all...
They're just seeing each other, Bean. That's it.
That's it. Okay.
They're just an item.
We don't have to put a name on it, right?
No, exactly.
They're just friends.
Titles ruin things.
Landon Donovan from the Los Angeles Galaxy joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we got some tickets that we'll be giving away also. In the meantime, Ralph Garman is on vacation. Brad Williams filling in on the Showbiz Beat today. Hey, Brad, how are you, man?
I'm back doing the Showbiz Beat. Doing great, and thank you guys again for having me. Let's get going with the Showbiz News. Total Recall star, Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
Yes. Who I've seen in person, by the way. She was on The Tonight Show when I was on The Tonight Show.
Right.
And my God, in person,
even
way better than any photo.
There are a few women like that who you can see every single photo and you go, they are really stunning in photos. And then you see them in real life, Anna Torv, who we saw over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unreal. And, Kate Beckinsale was giving an interview with Allure magazine. And they asked her about getting older and maintaining your looks. And she said she's got no problem with it. It's a natural thing. Everyone's got to go through it. But there are some instances that kind of remind her that she's getting older. For instance, she was at a party where her teenage daughter was there. Some of her daughter's friends were there. They were all on the dance floor. They were all, you know, they're all dancing, getting down.
Right.
Kate Beckinsale thought, I'm going to go out on the dance floor.
Uh-oh.
So she goes out on the dance floor. It clears.
Really?
She was very embarrassed. She's like, okay, now I know I'm getting older. But I'm looking at that going, what teenage guy?
Oh, there's no guy out on the dance floor.
What was he? Like, if you told them 10 years, 5 years later, a year later, what they done, they would be like, I did what?
Yeah, you're right.
Kate Beckinsale went on the dance floor.
As far as you know.
So ask about Kevin. On the Tonight Show?
Or at that night at the party. Either one.
Oh, no.
No, okay.
No. All right.
Thought I'd ask.
But yeah, next time Kate Beckinsale goes on any dance floor. Any dance floor. Let me know, Kate. I will be there. If your kneecap needs a humping, this midget can do it. I'm good at that. I got good aim. That's all I'm saying. Moving on. Speaking of moving on. Arnold Schwarzenegger is moving on.
Okay.
He was spotted Friday night at Bagatelle Restaurant in West Hollywood, not just with a 25-year-old brunette, making out with a 25-year-old brunette.
Really?
What was his name?
And he's what, 60-something?
Yeah, I'm like 64. I got my eyes locked on that 25-year-old. I'm going to terminate that vagina. Yeah, I'm going to terminate it.
You do voices.
I do voices, too.
Who knew?
But this is kind of strange because if you've been following the story in the news, when it initially happened, when he cheated on his wife, Maria Shriver, with the maid, she said, no, you're gone, we're done.
Right.
But then he begged and begged and wanted the reconciliation. And then Maria said, yeah,
right.
They were back on. Now, apparently, it's Maria wants the relationship back, but Arnold's like, wait, there's 25-year-old single women out there? I had no idea.
I'm out.
Yeah, he's out. He's doing the thing. And my whole thing is, 25-year-old single women, that's good. You want that, Arnold, but you're going to start missing Maria. He's going to start missing Maria. As soon as he tries to open a can and he doesn't have that chin, he's going to be like, where's my can opener? Maria, I need your chin. Come, I need tuna fish. So that's my prediction. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's co-star in the new Expendables 2 movie, Sylvester Stallone, obviously dealing with the absolute tragic death of his son, Sage. And it's a terrible story that no parent should ever have to go through. And just like they, just as they do, the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, F them.
Oh, come on,
just
man.
F them so much.
They are deciding Seriously? To picket the funeral of Sage Stallone.
What's their problem with him, though?
On their Twitter, they are tweeting such things as, adulterous dad brings the wrath of God on his son. Now, here's the thing. I'm a comedian, so I'm all for free speech. I think that it's very important. But, and the most controversial speech has to be protected. But I do believe that there are certain instances, funerals being one of them, that should be locked out. You should not have access to that. And these are the same people that picket the funerals of soldiers.
Yep.
And so here's my thing. New Orleans Saints, put a bounty on the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Jonathan Vilma, you're suspended the entire year. You're bored. You don't know what to do. You want to hit somebody? Westboro Baptist Church, let's do this thing.
Let's use the bounty as a positive and not a negative.
Charlie Sheen just donated $1 million to USO. How about that USO go straight into a special task force to take out Westboro Baptist Church? Let's do it. Let's make it happen. I don't think you'll get one complaint from anyone. So, Westboro Baptist Church, a giant F you from my tiny middle fingers. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everybody. Actor Donald Sutherland is 77. Bassist Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath. Great band. 63. Mark Brunette, producer from Survivor and I think Celebrity Apprentice as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he is 52 years old today. And, of course, it wouldn't be the best birthday of them all. David Hasselhoff, everyone.
Yay! You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Was that a moment with Kevin?
What? With him?
Oh, no, that was David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, that was
The Hoff loves to rock.
I thought that
was
you.
A lot of people confuse those two, Brad. Don't worry.
I can't tell the difference.
How dare you?
I mean, put a cheeseburger in Kevin's hand. You can't tell them apart.
I'll take you down.
David Hasselhoff is 60 years old today.
How far to go?
I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter patter on the showbiz.
Chips it back in, the header and a goal! Landon Donovan finds it, scores his sixth goal of the season! A wonder goal from Donovan, his 12th of the season! Goal! Landon Donovan again!
One of the most recognizable faces in American soccer, the all-time leading scorer, three-time MLS Cup champion, Landon Donovan.
Landon Donovan, home Charlie Davies, here on Andres Santos.
Let's add a 12-time MLS All-Star to the long list of credits to our next guest, too. Landon Donovan from your Los Angeles Galaxy joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Landon. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm in Bean's part of the world. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, going from Portland to Vancouver now.
Yeah, you put a smackdown on Portland the other night. Congratulations! I know at this point when you're getting to the halfway, you're like, "Hey, are we got to be firing on all cylinders because we got we got to turn it on now, right?"
Yeah, well, we had a really bad start to the season, but in the last probably 3 weeks, we've been a lot better. And then when you travel on the road in our league, it's hard to get points and get wins, but we've done a good job of that, so we're starting to move up the table, which is good.
What is the pressure like when you have a great team, obviously the team that won the championship last year, and you have such a bad start? There's got to be at some point where people sit you down and go, look, or you sit each other down and go, look, we got to step it up at some point in the season.
Yeah, I think it's probably natural to some extent in sports for you to have a little bit of a letdown after you win a championship, but it's not acceptable for this group because we're too good, too talented. And there was a point, I think, where our coach said, listen, guys, we can pretend like it's still early in the season, but if we keep playing this way, we're going to be out of the playoffs. So we've had a good turnaround, but we got to keep it going.
Now let me ask you about the Portland Timbers. It was one of the weirdest goal celebrations that I've ever seen. They scored about 2 minutes in, and their goal celebration, they're the Timbers. I get it. There's a lot of trees in Portland. Their goal celebration is that they take a chainsaw and they cut through a tree trunk. They actually do that. And then I guess.
That's cool though, right?
No, it was dumb.
You're not having it?
No, I'm not having it.
You're not having it.
You're an environmentalist or something?
No, not at all. I just think it's a ridiculous way to celebrate a goal.
Kevin, you don't think a chainsaw has any place in sports, is basically what you're saying.
And the goal celebration. Then you guys come back, and let me ask you two questions. One is, what are you thinking about when they call a handball in the box and you're going to do the PK, the penalty kick? And you sit down, basically you sit down on the field for a rest or something. And then it looks like you're thinking. Are you thinking what you're going to do with it? Are you thinking don't let the pressure get to you? What's going through your mind just before a penalty kick?
Well, it depends, but most of the time I'm just kind of, grounding myself and relaxing. Because it can be a high-pressure situation, so I want to sort of breathe and relax and just stay present so you don't get too caught up in the moment. But a lot of times also I'm thinking, you know, I've played against this goalie before. I've had a penalty against him before. Which way might he go? And it becomes this kind of crazy mind game.
And then I wanted to ask you one other question about that game, and that is David Beckham's free kick over the wall and then back down into the goal. Can anyone else? Can you do that?
No, I wish I could. If I could, I'd probably get paid a lot more. His first goal, I think, was even better. It was during just the normal run of play, and he got a ball probably 30 yards out and just hit it in the top corner over the goalie's head. It was pretty remarkable.
That's unbelievable that he – how old is he now?
He's 71, Kevin. I just looked it up. He's 71.
Yeah. still playing that well. And one last question about that game, and that's Jose Villarreal, who is an 18-year-old that was playing in the game. He didn't play more than a minute, but – 18. How old were you when you started in the pros?
I was that age too.
18.
We were kind of heckling him a little because he played. I think he played like 2.5 minutes total or something for his debut. He was all excited, running around, and then we realized he didn't touch the ball.
He didn't touch the ball once.
Hey, let's not forget, most 18-year-olds can't last 2.5 minutes at anything, Landon. So that's pretty impressive, really. You mentioned your friend David Beckham. How much is he going to miss with his role? I guess he's some sort of official ambassador or something like that to the London 2012 Olympics, so he's going to be taken off here pretty soon. How long is he going to be away from the squad, do you know?
I don't think we know yet. We're still, I think, all pretty devastated for him that he didn't get named to the team. The poor guy put in so much to get Great Britain the Olympics, to get London the Olympics, and then to be left off. So it's nice that he gets to go in some capacity, but I'm sure he wanted to go as a player.
He also 4 years ago had hurt himself, so he couldn't play 4 years ago in the, or 2 years ago, I'm sorry, in the World Cup. So that had to be just brutal to not get picked for the Olympics.
When you get to the latter stages of your career, these opportunities aren't coming anymore. And then when you think of it on a grander scale with historical relevance, to have an Olympics in your, not only in your home country, but also in your home city, and to do so much for the sport and then not be allowed to go is pretty devastating. So we're all
You make a great point, Landon. Look, he's had so much incredible success, but that is going to be something that, you know, down the road is going to always hurt a little bit, you know?
Absolutely once in a lifetime, right? I mean, to play in the Olympics, period, is special, but to have it in your home city is really special, so.
Sure. This is the voice of Landon Donovan here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the Los Angeles Galaxy. Kevin, you are going to be you're at almost all the games, but what's this event you're doing with the K-Rock Listers against Chivas this weekend?
Saturday night against Chivas, we're doing a K-Rock tailgate party, and Landon has very nicely offered to come up and take pictures with everybody, which I think is...
Is Landon just now hearing about this?
Yes, but I think that's above and beyond the call of duty and super nice of him. But we'll take the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to join us Saturday night. Bean was asking a question of me off the air, Landon, and I want to get your answer because I think I have a very strong answer, and that is, Bean says when Chivas is not playing at the Home Depot Center, he guesses that most people then just use the Galaxy as a fallback to cheer for. And I said, I don't think so at all.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, like, if Chivas isn't playing,
right?
But the Galaxy is, they'll go to the game and cheer for the Galaxy.
Oh, I see. So you're saying, like, the casual fan will be, or the fan who doesn't really care either way will be a Galaxy fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're a Chivas fan, but Chivas isn't playing.
Oh, I gotcha.
Kevin was pointing out that a lot of Chivas fans seem to be anti-Galaxy. They'll be rooting against you. But when Chivas isn't in the game, I suspect that they then root for you because you're still the home team in Southern California.
Do you have proof of this?
No, I don't have any proof of this.
No, because I think it's not true. I think they don't at all. I think they actively root against the Galaxy.
I would guess they wouldn't be showing up to support the Galaxy. But, I mean, you never know.
You never know. All right. Good answer.
Being PC here.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be a great event this Saturday night, Galaxy versus Chivas USA, in a very exciting second half of the season. And congratulations once again on making the All-Star team, and congratulations on turning it around and looking good and having fun and continuing to put a great product on the field. We wish you nothing but success this year, as we always do, Landon. It's always good to catch up with you, man.
Thank you. And if you want to make any other promises for me to make appearances.
Yeah, you're going to give them a signed jersey as well, and that was very nice of you.
Yeah, show up at their house and have a party with them.
Thank you, Landon.
All right, guys.
Talk to you soon.
When do those Olympics start? A couple of weeks from now is all, right?
Yeah, I want to see late July.
Getting close.
25th, 26th, 27th.
It's weird that NBC doesn't ever mention it. It's weird that they don't bring up that they're carrying the Olympics on their channels. That's odd. But it's so fascinating to think about the life of an athlete. And we were just talking to Landon Donovan about what it means for somebody to get picked to represent your country in the Olympics, and how, you know, what an honor it is, and how much pressure there is. Some of these sports, I mean, you train for years, you finally get selected to a team, you go to a city, and you have 5 seconds sometimes to do whatever it is you're doing. Right?
Yeah, like Olympic diving. You dive, it takes 2 seconds from the top to the bottom. That's it.
That's true.
You're pole vaulting or whatever it is you're doing, high jumping, whatever, and it's over like that. And I can't even imagine mentally and physically what the preparation must be like. And there's an interesting article up as part of the NBC Olympics coverage on their website where they talk about that little extra something that Olympic athletes have. They, believe it or not, are also superstitious and have good luck charms.
I have a lucky blue sports bra that actually my oldest sister gave to me. And I did a few early races with it, and I started winning. And so, of course, it wasn't the training or my ability. It was the blue lucky sports bra. So since 2009... I have worn that sports bra in almost every single bike race I've competed in.
I have a pink and blue dinosaur. His name is Dynamite. He's got a scratched out eye and everything, a stitched up tail, but I mean, he's perfect the way he is now because he's been through a lot, and that's what makes him who he is.
I got this little bear at the 2003 Junior Nationals. I was just having a a rough meet, and I was down about it. So my mom, she took me out, and we got this little bear is kind of a good luck charm or just something to cheer me up. And, it worked. I dove really well the next day. And since then, it's kind of been, my little lucky charm.
These are the people that are representing the United States at the Olympics.
And by the way, the woman with the ratty sports bra that she goes out and races bicycles in every weekend. I mean, that's got to look bad at this point,
please,
right?
Please tell me she washes that.
They did ask her, and she did say yes.
Okay,
does wash that. But year after year wearing a sports bra for an athletic event, that doesn't sound sexy. That's not sexy.
All right, we're going to look for your calls, 1-800-520-1067. I know there are a lot of people out there, and it happens in sports, it seems like, more than regular life. But you have a lucky charm. Maybe it's a sporting event. Lucky Charms are stupid. We can all agree on that, right? Mentally?
But
when the Kings were running up to the cup, I wore the exact same jacket and had spilled food all over it because I'm me.
You did?
And didn't wash it because they kept winning.
Remember Matt Money Smith's tennis shoes?
Yes, Matt Money Smith was wearing the same tennis shoes to a Laker game when they were playing well.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept wearing them. And one game he couldn't go, so Psycho Mike wore them.
Right.
Right, that's right. But those are almost more sports superstitions, aren't they? I mean, we're looking
for
lucky
charm is sort of the same. I guess if you're afraid to fly and you take your teddy bear on a plane.
Right.
If you think that item somehow really does change your luck, First of all, you're dumb. Second of all, you're like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the way to get people to call it, is to start by saying you're dumb. Okay. But there are people who always carry a pair of dice in their pocket or whatever it is because they say it's my good luck charm. And it's fascinating to see the things that people select and the reasons why they select their good luck charms. But I don't know that we've ever done this phone topic before, but I am interested to hear what people consider their good luck charm, the thing that they will not leave the house without or won't go on a job interview without or won't fly without or whatever situation the good luck charm helps you. What is it and why do you use it?
1-800-520-1067. You take it with you wherever you go. You think it brings you better luck. You think you have better success doing whatever it is. It doesn't make any sense, and I imagine most people would agree that it doesn't make any sense. But you do it anyway.
Well, what's the downside? Exactly. Right. Why not?
Might as well bring it.
I think for people who have a routine, it settles their mind. It makes them more comfortable. It makes them more confident, and that probably does pay off for them in terms of whatever it is they're trying to achieve because they feel better about themselves if they've got their thing.
Hey, take it easy here. We're just talking about good luck charms. You don't have to go right there.
You want to take one before we break, just to kind of get us started here at 1-800-520-1067. This is exactly the sort of thing we're talking about. We're talking about your good luck charms, and Alex joins us. He's on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Alex, thanks a lot for calling in. Thanks for listening, man. What's your good luck charm?
Hello, Kevin Bean and Lisa May.
Hi there.
And my good luck charm actually was for a year and a half, a Hello Kitty keychain doll.
A Hello Kitty keychain doll.
Now, how did that even come into your possession?
Well, my girlfriend at the time was trying to cheer me up, and she knew I was worried about my deployment. So,
oh, you're in the military?
And before I shipped out to Iraq, she gave me a Hello Kitty keychain doll to dress up like a pirate, and I took that with me. I took that with me with every mission, and I made it back home. I still got it, so. Good luck.
Well, I never let that go.
Do you think you wouldn't have made it back home if you didn't have the Hello Kitty keychain?
I almost lost it in mission, and it was a really bad mission, and I think maybe not.
Wow. And you're protecting our country.
I'm just grateful that you weren't captured and that the Iraqis had more reason to hate us because you're carrying a Hello Kitty keychain. That would have been my fear, is you reflect poorly on America. Well, I'm glad you made it back okay. Don't ever let go of that keychain, all right?
But most importantly, never tell that story again.
I hope nobody I know in my unit is listening.
What unit is it, just out of curiosity?
Oh, it's a medical unit.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you for calling, Alex. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067.
Talking about good luck charms. You never leave home without it, or you take it with you on important events or dates or job interviews. Listen to this. Mark writes in, "Hey, Kevin and Bean, in high school I ran track and field doing the 100 and 200 meter sprint. From freshman to senior year, I put the get out of jail card from a Monopoly board game in my right sock. And $200 of Monopoly money in my left sock.
What?
Started off as a stupid kid superstitious thing, but it stuck until I graduated. The card and the bill were barely recognizable by the time I graduated from high school." It's just that's how things get started, is you do it once and it works, and you go, well, I guess I can never stop doing
that. I won that race. Now what do I do?
Then Ashley writes in, "My boyfriend says he needed me to, how should I say this, take a nap in his lap before he'd go on every job interview."
Yeah. Well, that does help.
I was a good obliging girlfriend, and he always got the job. So well done, Ashley. We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Austin first. He's on line one. We're talking about this interview with a bunch of Olympic athletes representing the USA in the London Games starting this month. And they talked about the good luck charms that they always carry with them. We thought, I bet a lot of people have those good luck charms. Let's find out what they're all about. Hi, Austin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
So, hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Sorry, I had to do it.
So you have a lucky charm?
Yeah, I wear the same pair of socks every time I go to Vegas.
The same pair of socks?
Yeah.
Because you've had good luck with them?
Well, I went to Vegas one time and I didn't pack any socks. And the only pair of socks I had were this like old pair of baseball socks, the ones that kind of go up to your knee.
Those are sweet, yeah.
Yeah, so I had to wear them the whole weekend and I ended up winning like $10,000. So
wow!
Like,
Now, has it continued to pay off, or have you just been wearing them religiously and still you lose money?
Actually, I haven't lost any like more than $100 any time I've went, and every time I've worn them, I usually, you know, end up on the plus side. So
Kevin needs your socks.
Can you send me your socks?
Do I just send the station? No problem.
That's odd. Thank you, Austin. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Mark now. He's on line two, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in on your good luck charms. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
How are you? Sorry to bother you.
You don't strike me as lucky.
How are you doing? Do you have a lucky charm?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
It's a wrestling pendant I got at Monday Night Raw about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And every time I wear it, like at a soccer game or when I'm taking a test or something, I always ace it or I always win the game by like 3 points or something.
You don't think it's your dynamic personality that's carrying you through? How do you know it's the charm? It could just be you.
Could just be the energy you add to the room when you show up.
You are magnetic.
I know, right?
Thank you for the call, Mark. Let's try JR on line 3. JR, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking good luck charms. What's up?
Hey, I was given a Saint card from my mother 20 years ago when I went...
A what card?
It's a card that has a picture of a saint and some...
Saint.
A saint and this, religious...
Oh, I see. Is this like a Catholic thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And it was given to me 20 years ago, and I was in the military, in the Navy, and I did 7 deployments in the Persian Gulf, came back safe and sound. Last year, my son became a Marine, did his first deployment in the Afghanistan. I gave it to him, and he came back safe and sound.
Oh, wow.
So we're keeping it.
Now, JR, let me just say this. First of all, you're the best for representing the country and going that extra step. And your son is, too. So thank you both. But, honestly, you think that card is what kept you safe and brought you home?
That and my mother's religious, blessing did it for us.
Okay.
But, I mean, not to be contrary, but there are a lot of religious people and religious families who lose service members. I mean, they're not immune to that, you know.
Well, you know, you take with you a little faith and a little piece of home, and that's what you want to come back to. And usually that's all it takes for you to just make it back home. And in my Persian Gulf, when I went, the ship that was ahead of me got blown up with a mine.
Wow.
And we were the second ship behind it. And my son came back unscathed. So, hey, if it works, it works. I'm here.
All right. So,
hey, I would never suggest that you not continue to take it with you when you go to dangerous places. I mean, look, like you said, why screw with it if it's not broken, right?
Well, I'm about to go to Magic Mountain. I think I'm going to take it with me,
too.
Yeah,
you should.
Yeah, good luck. Tickets to the Black Keys for you at Staples Center October the 6th. We've got them for you coming up here on the Kevin Amin Show and all week long on KROQ. Then Friday morning, you win grand prize drawing to see Lollapalooza in Chicago. Black Keys are playing that as well. It's KROQ's Road Trip USA 2012, destination number 3. All the details at KROQ.com. You know, I'm a little distracted. There's a midget in my peripheral vision, and I'm just not used to that. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought it was a rat or a gopher or something at one point. Look over, it's just Brad Williams.
We were just talking about Lucky Charms, and he said he was going to come running in.
Yeah, they're always after the Lucky Charms. They're always trying to take them.
Brad, it wouldn't be insulting to you if we asked if you wouldn't mind being our mascot, would it?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'd be the official spokesman of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I didn't say spokesman. I don't want you to talk. I just want you to look funny.
No.
Brad is filling in for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat today, and you can see him on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena. We haven't mentioned it much because it's still a couple of weeks away, but you're going to be there the weekend of August 10th at the Ice House in Pasadena, and you can buy those tickets at icehousecomedy.com. What's going on right now?
Well, and first of all, I would like to thank your Kevin and Bean listeners because I can tell that they're listening to my podcast about last night. Because my podcast, you can actually watch it on ToadHopNetwork.com. There's video of the podcast. And yesterday, I was wearing the shirt that I'm wearing now.
Uh-oh.
And they were the comments of, what happened to your shirt? It looks like the Kool-Aid man threw up on you. So I know Kevin and Bean listeners when I hear them. And thank you for that, guys. I really do appreciate that.
Of course.
To the showbiz news. Katie Holmes got rear-ended.
Hello.
Yeah. Not in that way. A truck actually sideswiped the car that she was in, and Surrey as well. Left some scratches and some dents. No major damage. But yeah, she was in a little bit of a fender bender. And,
was this paparazzi related at all, or just an accident?
It wasn't going to be a news story until people read the license plate of the truck said T. Cruz.
No.
I see what's happening. Mm-hmm. I see what's happening.
Just saying. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Just lying, but saying.
Just saying.
words of opinions expressed by Brad Williams do not necessarily reflect those of the Kevin Abicho.
Because we don't want to die.
Muggs has to start our car again.
Exactly. Well, the Obamas took in a basketball game the other day. They were at the game between the USA and Brazil. And you know how sometimes at these sporting events they have the kiss cam?
Yeah.
And they put people up on the kiss cam.
Sure.
And it's usually great. It's usually really funny. Sometimes they find people who are just friends. Sometimes the women, you know, or sometimes it's really old people and it's really cute. They put the Obamas up on the kiss cam. And President didn't get no love.
She said no?
She said no.
Really?
Awesome.
She said no.
That's great.
And all I'm saying is, the man is the leader of the free world.
No, he's not.
If he...
She is.
But, like, if he messes up, we die.
True.
Like, if I mess up, oh, darn, you don't laugh at a joke.
Right.
He messes up, we all dead.
So keep him happy.
Can he get some loving?
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're
Why
saying
not,
right now,
Why not,
but
this is America.
But I agree.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Michelle.
Did they go back?
They went back to them a second time. Now, the second time, she did kiss him under the pressures of the crowd.
Sure.
Because the crowd started booing when she didn't.
And then he got to second base and then ticked the camera right off.
Exactly.
You've been to a lot of Lakers games. What is the psychology that gets the crowd so invested whether people kiss or not?
I don't know. It's just fun.
It really is entertaining.
Yeah, and I believe at one Laker game they put on... They put Dustin Hoffman and some other actor on the kiss cam, and then he's like, screw it. And he like totally went for it.
It is funny. Sometimes they'll pick somebody on the opposing team bench.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's exciting, what's funny about it, but it is kind of funny.
It's goofy. All I'm saying is, Mrs. Obama, if you don't hook up Mr. Obama, then you know he might pull a Bill Clinton.
That's correct, yes.
Might start looking around trying to find an intern. All right.
Is that your Obama?
No, that's my
that was
Clinton.
Supposed to
Clinton.
Be his Clinton.
That's that was supposed to be my Clinton.
Okay.
My President Obama would be this voice right here. It's a little stop and go.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
Yeah. That was a great Obama impression. Words I thought I would never say. Charlie Sheen, not a douchebag.
Can you decide that on one story?
You know... Maybe, maybe not, but I like this story. It's one of my favorite charities, so I'm going to report about it. Charlie Sheen has reported that he is going to give $1 million. I do that with my pinky up to my mouth, like okay. Austin Powers. $1 million to the USO. He's donating $1 million to the USO.
Okay.
He said that he's going to donate 1% of his profits of the show Anger Management to the USO and all that they do for our troops. 1% with 1 million being the absolute minimum. So
what if the show doesn't succeed, then? Does the USO owe him?
I hope
How does
not.
That work?
So watch Anger Management.
Nope.
Watch it.
Nope.
Oh, just leave it on then.
Okay.
But then
Brad,
don't watch it.
Have you done any of those USO shows?
Yeah. I've been to Iraq, Kuwait, Oman, Bahrain, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Japan.
Wow. How do you remember all that?
I'm pretty sure half of those places don't exist.
Why have we never talked to you about what those visits are like? That's fascinating.
They're so great. The troops are the best audiences in the world. And and I loved going to Japan because the Japanese were just as tall as I
That's
was.
That's true. You're average. Hold that. Let's talk about it after the top of the hour.
All right.
Yeah, I totally want to hear about that.
Okay.
Because,
no problem.
I mean, I follow a lot of the news with celebrities that go over there, and it's not a cakewalk for you guys. I mean, you are in as much danger as they are just in getting to the location. Sometimes
sure.
You're getting shot at.
But
so.
He doesn't have to duck.
That's true.
I mean, I do have
seriously,
advantage there.
What are the chances any stray bullet's going to hit you?
Exactly. But I do have some stories from over there.
All
that
right,
I'll share them after the
we'll
top
talk
of the hour.
About that.
Sure. So that happened. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Actor Donald Sutherland is 77. Bassist Geezer Butler of the Black Sabbath is 63 years old. Mark Prenet, producer, Survivor, Celebrity Apprentice. He's 52 years old today. And David Hasselhoff, The Hoff is 60. The Hoff is tweeting about his birthday.
Is he?
Saying, I want to have 60 on the beach. Keep singing. Wow. Thanks for all the birthday wishes.
What does that wait? What does that mean?
May the Hoff be with you.
Oh.
This is a mess.
I'm glad he's getting older, because that means soon he's going to be off the planet.
Don't make us put you in the fire again.
That was awesome.
I tried, actually. I guess I was actually too good. Oh, well, maybe next time. Follow me on Twitter, at FunnyBrad, and I put her patter on the show biz.
Our friend Brad Williams in studio right now on Twitter, at FunnyBrad. He is BradWilliamsComedy.com. We just found out that he's some sort of a war hero or something. He has been to more war zones than most soldiers. Brad, I had no idea, dude.
Woo! I don't think they call him a war hero, though.
Operation Willow Drop.
he didn't really fight.
Let me hear those countries again. Where have you been to entertain the troops with
USO? Iraq, Kuwait, Oman, Bahrain, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Japan.
And Florida. You left out Florida.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a...
There's a war zone.
And that's over
war zone.
How many trips?
Three trips.
Wow.
How does it happen? I mean, do they just give you a call and say, hey, we're looking for comedians, or do you call them and volunteer?
You can call them, and also they can seek you out. Two times I seek them out. I wanted to go because, you know, as a little person, surprisingly, they don't let me serve. Apparently, if I fire a pistol, I'll fly back 50 feet. And
but you would think that the enemy would take have a second take, and then you'd have time to kill him.
Right?
Like, I'm a surprise.
I don't understand why this army of 4 feet tall people are coming. What are they doing? Are they selling me something? I don't need anything. Bam.
See, one in the USL. What was the first place you went?
First place I ever went was Iraq.
And what was that like?
Oh, dude. It was... The soldiers there are so great, and they're so anxious to show you all that they're doing and all that they're capable of doing.
They want to show everybody that all the training is paying off,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, and so I got to fire some guns. I got to drive a tank.
With, wow. With, really?
I drove
Please
a tank.
Please tell with me blocks? You have a picture of you
I do.
Driving a tank.
Well, here's the thing.
I need that.
I know, right?
No, seriously, I need that.
Now, here's the thing. Like, when I drive my car, which is a Mini Cooper, by the way, thank you. When I drive my car, I need pedal extenders and all that stuff to drive. With a tank, it's a pedal that I was literally, like, standing on. Like, I was jumping on these pedals like Tom Hanks and Big on the keyboard. Like, I'm jumping
the
back and forth.
The tank must have been stopping and starting and stopping and starting.
They're yelling at me. And the worst part was is I actually I hit something in the tank. I hit a tree. And
you hit a tree in the tank?
The one tree in Iraq. It's their one tree.
It was their one tree.
They don't have any others.
You couldn't see out the window?
I couldn't. I really couldn't see. And the guy was yelling at me to turn. And for some odd reason, I thought that meant speed up.
I got to tell you, those soldiers must have been on the ground laughing.
Oh, God.
They must have been dying laughing.
Well, that and when we pulled back, some of the guys had just come out because they had seen a tank run over a tree. They're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then they see me pop out of the tank. They're like, oh, well, that's why.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
I thought they were having a fever dream. Where did you perform in Iraq? Were you in the green zone?
I was in Baghdad and...
just generically in the city someplace?
Yeah, I actually can't
like
really...
Like at the Ha-Ha's Comedy Club?
Yeah, they got a chuckle hut over there in Baghdad.
Is that right?
why don't you tell joke? Tell me joke! Tell me joke!
So you just did the lap dancing for him?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I had so much fun there because when I had to travel around these countries, like I had to go, sometimes I had to go by military helicopter.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got to fly in a Black Hawk helicopter.
But whoa. You mean you got to fly in a Black Hawk helicopter?
Yeah, I didn't fly the helicopter.
Okay, no one actually understands. We're saying Black Hawk. Those are the words that are coming
right,
out of Brad's mouth.
What were you thinking, Bean? I got to fly in it, and when I did, they had to put a helmet and a vest on me for protection. Now, apparently, not a lot of midgets in the military.
Oh, the vest was a little big?
It was a bulletproof moo-moo. I'm walking around like I was encased. And then the helmet, the guy thinks, okay, he's a little person. He probably has a tiny head. Uh-uh.
No, you got a big head.
I have a big head. Yeah. I don't have dreams. I have movies. This thing's huge. So he puts his helmet on, and it's sitting on top of my head. He's not even covering it.
Are you sure they weren't just effing with you?
It's on top of my head. I'm like, great. It's a war yarmulke.
give him the biggest vest and the smallest helmet.
I'm going into a country with a lot of angry Muslims, and they dressed me like a pissed off Jew. This is gonna go well.
So how does it work when you get over there to where the troops are? Do you can't play for everybody at one time, right? Do you just do multiple shows, multiple nights? How long were you there?
There was one trip that I did where I was there touring from country to country for a month. One time I went. Yeah, full month.
Wow.
And one time I went for 2 weeks, and another time I went for just 1 week. But
And it's the deal that the guys are just starved for entertainment, and they're just ready to laugh. They just want something that's going to make them laugh, and they can have fun for a few minutes, right?
Yeah, and they're the best audiences because they don't, like you said, like they don't have comedy clubs over there.
Right.
So literally, we would do shows where I would just have a park bench and a little like amp and a microphone and just go from there.
Really?
And they were great. They're so attentive. And the craziest part is when stuff starts happening. And like,
what does that mean when stuff starts happening?
There's alarms that go off if we're being mortared.
Right.
And they would go off during my show.
Right.
And they wouldn't flinch.
What?
They would just stay there and keep watching. Meanwhile, I'm like panicking.
Because they were watching the show of you duck covering and rolling.
Yeah,
they're
like, oh, wow, that's funny. He can really do a shoulder roll. Who knew? And they're just so much fun. And like when I was on the helicopter, they gave me a speech right before we started flying. We're like, we don't anticipate anything to happen. Nothing's going to happen, but this is a war zone, so we kind of have to tell you. We have to warn you. And we get fired upon sometimes what's called RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades. You might know it as a bazooka. If this is to happen, you'll hear the words fire in the hole. Our machine gunner will return fire. At that point, I'll do some evasive maneuvers. You'll be fine.
Really? What? They ended it with you'll be fine?
Yeah, like,
you'll be bouncing all over the helicopter.
Right. Like, I'm sorry. I stopped listening after you said bazooka. Like, so then we start flying in the helicopter and everything's going well and I'm having fun. I'm kind of relaxing.
You should have yelled, fire in the hole.
No. You do not want to do that. But what they didn't tell me is that once we fly outside of the base, mm-hmm. they have to test fire the machine gun.
Oh, who knew?
To make sure it works. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just got the speech from General Patton.
Okay.
And then we get outside the base. I hear, find the hole! Da, 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 da.
Ah! You start freaking out?
I had my first period right there in the dark helicopter.
Wow, who knew?
Who knew?
Caused you to be a girl.
Exactly.
So they were shooting, what is it, a 50 cal? What is it, bigger than that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you get to shoot that?
Yes, I did.
It would have shot you right back across the hole.
Oh. They had to strap me into the gun.
Like, they must have had a blast with you.
They took belts and they literally strapped me into the gun. They're like, this is going to blow you back. And I'm like, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But then when I didn't think I needed them, but when you shoot that thing, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
got
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Your friend Jeffrey Ross did that very moving documentary about his time going overseas.
Patriot Act.
Troops. Yeah, Patriot Act. Great, great movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it has to make you appreciate what you have back home when you go over there and see what those guys are doing who are, you know, just by happenstance, they happen to have drawn that light in life and look where you're at.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Like, we would go to some bases that were really great that would have all the amenities of home. But then there's some, they call them FOBs. They're forward operating bases. And they're just, they're literally sometimes just tents.
Yeah, like, by the way, that's where you don't want to go. Forward operating base is a tent.
Right.
That's out in the middle of really nowhere.
Yeah.
They took you out there?
Yeah.
They wanted you dead.
Do you just tell stories around a campfire? I
pretty much.
Like, remember yesterday when we
like
got
10
bombed?
Guys.
Remember the day before we got bombed?
Oh, my God. Goodness. And and I'd be out there and I'd be going to sleep. I'd be like, hey, man, can I get a blanket? And they're like, we don't have any.
What?
They would literally say we don't have any. So that's why when I heard the story of Charlie Sheen donating $1 million to USO, people don't realize when you donate money to the USO, they provide things like blankets.
Seriously?
Like,
or in your case, handkerchiefs.
Right. It covers the same amount. Yeah, but like they provide
we
stuff
don't have
like
any.
That. Yeah, they literally
Are
didn't have
sure
any.
Are you sure they weren't just goofing with you again?
I mean, maybe just wanted to see a dwarf shiver, yeah. But whatever.
Let's watch him shake.
Yeah.
This will be funny.
It was.
Wow. That's interesting.
And so, you went to Japan as well?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, that was cool.
Because that war is going off right now. Yeah. Japan.
It was a party.
Yeah, Japan is a little more comfortable, and I loved it because everyone's just smaller over there.
Oh, that's
the,
true.
The cars are smaller. The people are smaller. I was walking around like, I can dunk on these fools. I can
if
post
the basket
up.
Was 6 feet.
Yeah, exactly. I can make that happen. And but really, it's amazing as you do more of these USO tours, how many bases, like, we're everywhere.
Right.
USA, we are everywhere.
Did you ever go with any hot chicks? They usually send some actresses or models or something.
They sent
Dallas cheerleaders.
Yeah. They sent a comedian named Heather Zangone with us. And
hot.
Yes.
Okay.
Hot. And while we were test firing guns,
she's got the helmet on and she's firing and everything's going good. And then she hits the target. She hit the target like pretty much dead on bullseye. And when she did, she turned around with the gun and went, "Oh my God, I hit the target!"
And pointed it at you?
And pointed the gun at everyone. And a USO, like a soldier, literally tackled her.
Sweet.
Like, and then like,
oh my God,
stayed on her for an extra 5 minutes.
Of course.
To, you know, to,
we got to pat you down.
To make sure everything was good. But yeah, that was the life flashing before my eyes at that point.
Did you think you were going to die at any point? Anywhere?
That's, you know what? When we got there, you do think that because you hear sirens, you hear things happening. But then when you look at the confidence and the soldier's ability to be comfortable and the fact that they're fine with it, then that makes you more confident because you're like, oh, well, these guys aren't worried and they're here every day.
So then you have to hide that you peed yourself.
Right.
Basically.
You know, you put like a Bounty wet nap in your pants and you're good to go. But yeah, if any comedian hasn't done it, I highly advise. And if you're not a comedian and you can't go over there and perform or do shows for the troops, please donate. USO and WoundedWarriorsProject.com. Those are two charities that come up top of my head. But they're great charities and they really provide so much for the soldiers over there. It's a fantastic cause.
Good times. Thanks,
there,
Brad.
You go. Hey, no problem. And hopefully I can go back. I'm going to try really hard to go back somewhere else this year.
Fantastic. Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Cesar Segura from Pomona just won tickets for Black Keys at the Staples Center October 6th and is qualified for the grand prize drawing for Lollapalooza in Chicago. That's the grand prize we'll do Friday for K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2012 Destination Number 3. Hooking you up all week long here on the World Famous K-Rock. Hi, Brad Williams.
What's good? Last showbiz beat of the day.
Did you say what's up or what's good?
Both.
Okay.
At the same time. Hey, so apparently I speak Kevin. What's up? What's give up? And now, a moment with Brad.
You have worked too long with me now, officially.
It's rubbed off on me. Anyway, I got some showbiz news for you. There's a fun list that just came out on an online show. It's a Yahoo.com show hosted by Michael Yo, who's known from Chelsea Lately. And he was discussing embarrassing celebrity relatives.
Okay.
This coming with the story that Kate Middleton, her cousin, is a stripper.
Love it.
And is on the cover of next month's Playboy magazine.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Kidding.
The royal family's in Playboy.
Why did your voice go that high?
I don't
know. How obsessed are we with celebrities where we put the cousin of somebody in a magazine because she's sort of related?
It depends how hot she is. If she's not hot, then we're too obsessed.
Well, she works as a stripper / burlesque dancer, and reportedly during her act, she comes out with a Union Jack, the British flag, panties, and nipple tassels dancing to God Save the Queen.
Well, that sounds patriotic to me.
Yeah!
Right on.
She is not invited to a lot of official royal functions with Her Majesty.
The Queen loves her.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if she was, though? And now the Royal Duchess of, what's your name? My clothes off.
Was it President Clinton that had that brother Roger that was always embarrassing? It was always getting involved in like bar fights
and
stuff.
He was a drunk. Remember, he just, if I recall correctly, it was an alcohol problem that he would drink all the time.
How would you know anything about that, Kevin?
How dare you?
But yeah, so that was one of the celebrities brought up. Also, another one. I never heard this story. I'm surprised. But apparently, Reese Witherspoon's brother at some point aimlessly walked in to the house of an elderly woman and fondled her while she slept.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say went to the bathroom.
No.
What?
No, he looked down, saw some 60-plus tail, and said, "I got to get me some of that."
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Wow, the K-Rock microphones were there.
That woman probably woke up and went, "I had the weirdest dream."
If she's as old as the description, it probably sounds like she woke up and went, "I died and went to heaven. Hallelujah.
Don't run off.
Where are you going? Come back.
Let me ask you this, Brad, while we're talking about embarrassing celebrity relatives. Mm-hmm. We met your hot sister at April Foolishness.
Shut up.
What does she think about the stuff that you do and say in your act? And do you ever bring embarrassment to your family?
Oh, I'm sure I do.
Of course you do.
Absolutely I do. You know what? Sometimes they claim me.
And sometimes they go, oh, no, that's some other dwarf comedian.
I'm guessing they go with the latter more often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't know.
No, no, that guy you saw in the club, he looks like our Brad, but he's not. No, they all kind of look alike.
Your family says.
That was Wee Man.
Everything they don't like, they blame on Wee Man.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Absolutely. Works out. And then Mariah Carey's sister has been arrested twice for prostitution.
Oh.
Really?
Really? Because I always thought Mariah Carey was the prostitute.
You would think.
Interesting.
Based on the outfits, when you put them side by side, if you said, which one is the lady of the night, you'd go, Mariah. Wrong? darn. But yeah,
Mariah refuses to wear clothes that fit. I mean, that's her biggest problem.
she
always has to be barely hanging on to whatever clothes she's got on.
She could be dressed hot. Mm-hmm. You can dress hot no matter kind of what you weigh, but if you wear the wrong size clothing, you are automatically not hot.
By the way, you should love Mariah Carey, Kevin, because...
She crazy?
She's probably the only person who threw out a worst first pitch at a baseball game than you.
How dare you? There have been many worse first pitches than mine.
If you have a chance today, YouTube Mariah Carey first pitch, and it is a gem.
Sweet.
The fact that she walked out to the mound in like 9-inch stiletto heels probably didn't help her.
So did I, and that didn't help me either.
Didn't she throw it like behind third base or something, Brad?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
She hit a grounder to the shortstop.
Mine may have taken a bounce, but it was a nice bounce.
At least it was toward the plate, though.
Yeah, yeah, she could have bowled it there, and it would have gotten better.
Sweet.
So, yeah, that's celebrity embarrassed. I mean,